Hi, and welcome to Illumination by Modern Campus, your go-to podcast for conversations about transformation and innovation across higher education. I'm your host, Shauna Cox, and I'm excited to dive into today's conversation. Today, I'm speaking with Erin Heyman, who is Associate Vice President of Learning Experience at National University. We explore the breakdown of today's credentialing system and the need for a connected, outcome-driven pathways that align education with workforce value. Let's get into it. Erin, welcome to the Illumination Podcast.
Thank you so much. I'm happy to be here.
I am so excited to continue chatting with you because at the time of this recording, we had just met the other day for a webinar with Inside Higher Ed focused on our micro-credential report that we produced earlier this year with APSEA. And you provided such great insights, as all the panelists did, but there was something that stuck with me in that webinar. And that was you mentioning this piece around driving without a roadmap. It was an article that you had referenced in your responses to one of my questions. And we really need to deep dive into it. So to set our stage, do you mind just talking a little bit about the piece so that the listeners who may not have had a chance to attend the webinar can know what we are talking about?
Yeah, thank you. It is super interesting. And the full report name or the article name is Driving Without a Map, Unpacking America's Credentialing Problem. And really the crux of it is they say that America's training and credential system resembles a broken GPS. You can pick different routes, but you have no way to know which one will actually get you to where you want to go. And some of the takeaways from that are really around, they say, the system breaks down in four ways: inadequate information for learners, no common language for employers, inconsistent understanding of quality, and fragmented financing. And this is a little out of order, but another quote from that is that micro-credentials and course completions provide specific skills or competencies, and while they represent the fastest growing segment of the credential market, they are also among the least consistently defined or understood. And then finally, they say, workers bear the cost, those without strong networks or employers' support face higher risk, wasted time, and debt, turning what should be a pathway to mobility into an obstacle course.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for setting the context. I think the listeners, with all of that rich information you just stated, understand why we're meeting here today. So I want to kick off our conversation with this idea of the broken GPS problem. So how do you see this kind of broken GPS problem showing up most clearly for today's learners, especially when it comes to adult or more non-traditional learners?
Yeah, so I mean, non-traditional students, and at National University, we call them Anders because they are students and parents, students and military, students and full-time workers, you get the idea. And they often have very specific goals for their education. They're looking for a credential or a certificate or a degree that gets them a promotion, ups their socioeconomic status, transitions them from military service, those sorts of things. So we need to have a way to connect their goals and with our offerings and the quickest path of least resistance. There are challenges though, cost barriers for one. Awarding specific industry credentials often have a linked exam or another separate class that's needed to obtain a credential. And even in specific courses that prepare students for other linked events may be required. So thinking about the additional cost in addition to taking those courses, taking those events that can lead to another credential. And often creating or altering content in core content for academics can really, especially if it's substantive, that has to go through governance and sometimes accreditation or regulatory bodies. And that, of course, takes time and pay for staff.
And I want to lean on the idea of the Anders, because whenever I talk to anyone from National University and they bring up the concept, it's my favorite thing. And I don't know why, but it just makes me so happy to hear that you have your own term coined for them. And I think with these Anders is this idea of there's so many things that they are juggling at once. And so oftentimes they are going to need on-ramps and off-ramps and various ways to get their education because it's not going to be a straight 4 or 2 year path. It needs that flexibility that a lot of modern learners are really looking for today. But what would it take for an institution to move simply from just offering a credential or offering a package of credentials to truly guiding these learners through more clear outcome-driven pathways?
Yeah, that's a great question, and one that I think a lot of people are wrangling with, including national. But data system interoperability at almost every level is what's necessary, internally and externally, ideally. Microcredential records should talk to degree-seeking student records. Non-credit completions need to connect to financial aid eligibility. Employer enrollment workflows need to be much less manual. And at the state and federal level, funding structures weren't generally built for short-form credentials or micro-credentials. So institutions are navigating workarounds that weren't designed for this kind of volume or speed. We also need to adopt LERs, or learner and employment records, that these adequately can describe the learning and levels of learning connected to a course and experiences, either through employment or things like military service. A traditional transcript with credit hours and titles of courses just really isn't adequate to demonstrate true skills. And one of the foundational steps, I think, is to focus on competencies or skills or outcomes, however you want to phrase it, versus just grades. I mean, these are often not connected to mastery of outcomes, although they should be, of course. This is still a big shift, though, for much of higher ed. The mastery of consistent skills has to emerge and then reemerge in classes so that by the end of a path or program, those skills are mastered at a level designated for that specific credential. So think of the on-ramps and the off-ramps. If somebody has to, take time off of school, they are able to at least leave with some sort of credential that has value. And then when they come back, they're ready to come back right into that pathway. And so there's a lot of scaffolding and connections and coordination that needs to happen. And so what I love about what NU is doing on the academic side of the house, we are looking for credentials and mechanisms that may already exist or take pretty little effort to implement. And that is, if an industry skills are evident and aligned in courses and programs, we look to tag those appropriately and look for industry credentials to officially align. Also, National has an arm that focuses specifically on workforce development and partnerships in their courses, and it's specifically for businesses like Amazon or CVS or Southwest. We can take existing courses and credentials there and feed them into the other places in the academic side of the house if we can. For instance, if someone has gone through a management training in PACE, that's our professional and continuing education, and that person decides to go into a degree granting program, we can look to align that credential in appropriate courses or as credentials for prior or credit for prior learning, which becomes a little more arbitrary. But we really want to be able to have the better outcomes-based or skills-based alignment and then have that very clear towards a pathway. I will add that this is all being, added through PACE, through what Jobs for the Future says the field really needs. And that is, we have multiple programs approved for workforce Pell eligibility in healthcare alongside veteran-funded programs in IT. So we actively are bridging short certification programs to create stackable, portable, and that's key, pathways that allow learners to earn credentials that count toward a job today and then hopefully for a degree down the road.
And there's a couple of threads I want to pull on that you just talked about there. There's this idea of the shift that's happening in the institution and the fact that you guys have your own, workforce development arm. I think this is the perfect question to ask because at the beginning of our conversation, you mentioned when you were providing that context to the article, the idea of there's a lack of a common language with employers. So, from your experience with the institution and what you're seeing in the landscape, where do you see the biggest disconnect today between how the institutions are defining a credential and what that looks like, what it is, and then how the employers are understanding them, but also valuing them?
Yeah, and I mentioned this before, but getting data systems and people moving together at the same pace is critical. You can build a strong program, but if enrollment is manual, if completions don't flow automatically, if the learner record doesn't persist across systems, and if your team is spending significant amount of times on workarounds, you've really built something that is okay for small volume, but won't scale. So the people side is equally as real. Cross-functional alignment on processes, roles, and data standards don't happen without sustained leadership support and then the technical systems to support that work. And again, a lot of the academic governance and structure that's put into place, and again, sometimes accreditation and regulatory bodies make a lot of this work even more challenging. Curriculum reform in itself is a challenge. It takes many steps for a curriculum to be reviewed, then built, then implemented. And so ensuring ongoing industry alignment, also takes time. I think the biggest challenge is adequate assessment and validation of those skills, and then adequately presenting those skills through an actual credential or through mechanisms like an LER. Traditional transcripts just don't accurately capture these elements. So those shared definitions are critical, shared data systems and standards that actually pass information between units. Academic affairs, continuing education, workforce development, financial aid, the registrar's office, we all have to be working from that same map, going back to the article. In practice, though, that's still aspirational for a lot of institutions. Real alignment means it's structural and not just those relationship pieces. So, equally as important to the shared definitions between schools and employers is from employers to employers. I did some work a few years back with the Chamber of Commerce program around talent pipeline management, and that connected employers and higher education. And what was clear even at that time was even if we have the same goals in mind, we being education and the employers, or some of the same necessary skills in mind, how those were defined and how they looked at actual hiring practices, so the managers who were doing the hiring, could be vastly different even from employer to employer. So how to attribute values to those skills were also different. So this was really translated as a perceived unwillingness by some of the employers of higher education to quote unquote teach to employer skills. I translate that so-called unwillingness more towards that higher ed couldn't move quickly enough really to satisfy the needs of those hiring managers. So even with more recent skills-based movements for hiring, those focusing on skills first more than degrees, this is also fraught with enough inconsistencies that many hiring managers still revert back to the levels of degrees and majors for hiring decisions. And while this is somewhat less tangible, the degrees and what that means, those shared definitions of a bachelor's, a master's, et cetera, it is at least familiar rather than these vast definitions of skills that may have inconsistencies. So we're really working, from crossover from our workforce partnership and community engagement arm, where credentials and badges are a little more prevalent, and thinking about how, where we can bring those existing credentials and place those into degree programs. And so we're also looking at the durable skills from America Succeeds and placing those into many of our academic courses, especially Gen Ed, to bring awareness and alignment to those employability skills that are being looked at in the industry. We're working now on bringing assessment and validation, which is a critical piece, and then continued work with the industries. So truly, I think, to recognize success and to overcome some of these barriers, we have to look at beyond awareness of a badge or a somewhat intangible credential and place that towards where the industries feels has value. And that really needs a lot of connection and alignment.
And what I'm gathering from everything that you just stated there is there are so many checkpoints in terms of where disconnect can happen in just a flick of a switch. Because not only, oftentimes I hear the disconnect between the higher ed institutions and the employers and how they're not talking, but the fact that you even said between employers, employer to employer, there's a disconnect there. So there's a lot of working components behind the scene. And really what I'm seeing is like, if you can't, have some type of alignment on the back end, what is that going to look like on the front end, the student experience? And you mentioned the people side of things, and I want to look at the people side of things from that student standpoint. So how can institutions better reduce that risk that learners face around, their time, the cost, the unclear outcomes that they can't see when it comes to their careers? How do you better reduce that risk while still innovating in the program design and meeting all those learner demands? It feels like quite the tough balancing act to have to handle.
I agree that it's probably not the easiest thing in the world, or everybody would be doing it. But honestly, I think innovating in program design is the answer. This is what will drive a lot of what we're looking towards. So, thinking back on the Institutional Perspectives on Micro-Credentials 2026 report, it notes that the growing emphasis on workforce development and professional advancement signals a shift towards outcome-driven design, positioning micro-credentials as an important bridge between education and employment. Institutions that intentionally embed these initiatives in their strategic priorities and collaborate closely with industry partners will be the best positioned to deliver programs that are both mission-aligned and market-relevant. And in that, it even talks about that design. So intentionally designing those programs to be about these scaffolded events, these credentials, these badges that lead to something valuable and will stack upon each other. So we need to be designing with that end in mind and working backwards from where the learner needs to land. So course design and program design needs to be integral and intentional. Every credential should have a clear line of sight to something bigger, that certificate, degree pathway, credit for prior learning, or a defined career outcome or skill. Credit for prior learning and apprenticeship pathways also become key mechanisms. I think the honest challenge is that stackability requires those systems, which I've mentioned, both people and technology that recognize and credit, both literally and figuratively, what a learner has already done. And a lot of institutions are still building that infrastructure. Bringing in stackable, industry-relevant skills intentionally into courses as a whole is important so that students see the skills, know how they will demonstrate those skills and in ways that levels up or towards a form of mastery. And having these skills clearly articulated in transcripts or LERs, these help students see value and know that they are moving in the right direction, which helps increase motivation in many ways. We need to partner with those targeted industries, though, to ensure that the skills we are adding and assessing in classes are of value and those targeted employers or fields will see that value. And again, they have to be clearly demonstrated once a student receives the credential or degree to those employers. Otherwise, yeah, it can be costly to the students who may have a perceived, quote unquote, worthless credential. It all has to happen in tandem.
And I really want to expand on the idea of program design because I think that obviously plays such a critical role in what I'm about to ask you. I'm thinking about waving that magic wand and looking ahead of what does a fully connected, keyword connected credential ecosystem look like? And then what role should institutions play in leading that transformation to create this connected credential ecosystem?
Yeah, it's really important that the integration of short-term learning and degree pathways really benefits, the novice workers and the experienced workers. So I think workers who are new to an industry aren't necessarily ready for the traditional all or nothing choice. So being able to be flexible so that they can pursue career advancement via short-term credentials that opens up doors to degree completion is important. So we have to build, to your point, that program design in mind. And so when we think about what we're doing at National, we really are looking at what we call next generation education paired with value-rich education wrapped in whole human education. And that value-rich part is really where we seek to place that design. So with military and employer pathways, connection-rich and experience-rich opportunities, and that leads to credential-rich as well. And so again, that has to be, really intentional, and that design has to be connected and scaffolded across those systems and across the courses that lead to the credential or the degree. And for some of these efforts, we can look, I think, towards Education Design Lab's Micro Pathways model. As of August 2025, their educational lab's community college growth engine has expanded to over 100 community colleges nationwide. So it's connecting not just individual programs, it's connecting courses through different schools across the country. So the model co-designs stackable credentials with employers that can be completed in under a year, which then can then lead to employment in high demand fields and count towards that degree. In Colorado, my home state, the Colorado Behavioral Health Pathway was built with the Colorado community system and is now backed actually by a state executive order. It's actually one of the clearest examples of what intentional scaffolded stackability looks like when it works. So I think that institutions that can lead the way in best defining what a micro-credential is and can do, which really needs to demonstrate value for learners, will be ahead of the game. And that, of course, requires connection for within the school itself, with the industry, and then, as I just mentioned, with other schools. We really should be partnering with each other so we're not just bringing it all in one house and then continuing to have those divided opportunities. Partnering with organizations like CBEN or Credential Engine for guidance and validation of those skills can provide consistency. And this is what I really think employers and students are craving, and that will help lead towards more value. The what's in it for me, I think, is necessary as well. So if people don't know what their micro-credential can do for them, they might be less motivated working toward earning them. And then the other piece is really tapping into WIOA, Workforce Innovation and Opportunity Act funding, Pell funding. These are all huge benefits as well that are really untapped. So I think, tying those to apprenticeships and actual work in the field, again, that connection of events, there is a large untapped market for for these apprenticeship program funding too.
Absolutely. And I know you listed a lot of rich references in that response there and kind of throughout our conversation, which is fantastic. And I want to make sure the listener knows that we will provide all of those resources that Aaron has mentioned. And Aaron, those are all the formal questions I have for you, but is there anything else that you would like to add in terms of the work that you're doing, the credential landscape? I know that could be like five other podcast episodes in and of itself, but is there anything else that I have missed that you would like to talk about?
Those data systems and the connections. It truly is about not only connecting students to the right pathways, but that connection in the full ecosystem. So, the government funding that's available, the apprenticeships, schools working with each other, schools working with the industry, and then ensuring that the value-rich piece can really be articulated well and has some consistency across the board.
Well, again, those are all the questions I have for you, except for our bonus question. So, heading into that, if you have a book recommendation for our audience, what would you recommend?
Kathleen Delansky's book from, and she is from Education Design Lab. It's called Who Needs College Anymore? It came out pretty recently, but it's full of amazing insights and thinking through, what is formal education? What might micro-credentials mean? How do we capture that informal, quote unquote, informal education that so many of us and so many of our students bring with them? So it's a fabulous read.
Amazing. Erin, thank you so much for your additional insights stemming off of the webinar. I really do appreciate you taking the time.
Thank you so much for having me. It was a great discussion.
This podcast is made possible by a partnership between Modern Campus and The Evolution. The Modern Campus Engagement Platform powers solutions for non-traditional student management, web content management, catalog and curriculum management, student engagement and development, conversational text messaging, career pathways, and campus maps and virtual tours. The result? Innovative institutions can create learner-to-earner lifecycle that engages modern learners for life, while providing modern administrators with the tools needed to streamline workflows and drive high efficiency. To learn more and to find out how to modernize your campus, visit moderncampus.com. That's moderncampus.com.